Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm so excited to be, you know, restarting these shows. I took a break because I was traveling for 2 months in North America, but I am back. And so I'll be holding shows twice a week, you know, usually on Tuesday and Thursday. And who knows what else, but for now, that's what we're doing. But just, you know, watch your emails if you're already receiving my emails. And if not, watch the Facebook and Instagram. So today, like I said, I'm excited to be restarting. We started last week with Brian Rawls was here with us. And today, my good friend Benjamin Bernstein is here. And I have to tell you, Benjamin's been on our show a couple of times before. But beyond that, I mean, I have to say that I had a session with Benjamin, I have to say maybe a year ago. I don't know. Anyways, I had resisted. I'll be honest. I resisted. It's like, I don't want to do a session. I don't know what Benjamin's like for a session, but I don't want to do. And then I did it. It's like, oh my God, it was amazing. I couldn't believe, I mean, you know, Benjamin is really talented. The astrology plus the healing work. I mean, really, really talented. I was like so happy, you know, so pleasantly happy and surprised. So, so please do, you know, remember that, you know, whether you're here for the astrology part, because I know we're going to talk a little bit of astrology, or whether you're here for the healing part, just be open to everything. Okay. Be open to, whatever and all the wisdom that, Benjamin and I will be sharing, because, you know, I never know what exactly is going to come out of my mouth when I have these conversations. But Benjamin is here to talk a little bit about how to use these challenging times to awaken more deeply. Oh, and as I'm reading that title again, it's so apropos. It is so relevant, because for a lot of us light workers, and most of you who are on these calls, you know, you work with light, you work with energy, you work with spirit. You're being challenged. You might be challenged at this time. And so we're going to talk about how to use these times to awaken more deeply. And I know for myself, I'm doing that for myself, because I'm being challenged, and I am actually using this time to go deeper and to strengthen my practice and go deeper into my practice and so on and so forth. So for those of you who don't know Benjamin, I'll just tell you a little bit about him. He does astrology. He hosts This Week in Astrology. He was a Best Astrologer winner 2013 through 2015. And I have to say, you know, he is amazing. I was so surprised. So I don't know why I was surprised, but I was like so happy. Happily surprised. So Benjamin does a lot of astrology work. He's also a shamanic healer, an awakening activator and life coach. And so, you know, if you ever do get it, like, we're not offering sessions with the packages this time around, but if you ever do decide to get a session with Benjamin, he combines everything together, and it's like holistic. It's a very holistic approach. And Benjamin's greatest joy is helping others access or deepen their spiritual awakening with his simple, effective invocations for healing and awakening, which I'm sure we're going to use today. And they're such a gift, and they're so powerful. I'm sure you will all enjoy them too. So quite the varied introduction, but Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here again, Laura.
And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm, you know, when it comes to introducing friends, it's hard to just read the bio. You know, it's like, I can't just read the bio. I have to really tell you, you know, tell everyone really what the relationship is like. And so for me, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about astrology, but Benjamin knows everything. So, you know, I don't have to know it, because Benjamin does know it. And when it comes to healing, you know, the healing work, you know, we're all healers, right? We are all healers, and we're the ones that actually do the healing. As facilitators, like Benjamin and I are facilitators, we hold space. We have different processes that we bring to your awareness and to your attention so that you can heal if you so choose, but you ultimately are still the healer. So, Benjamin, I'm so excited about talking about how we can use these challenges to awaken more deeply, because as we were talking beforehand, it has been a challenging challenging year. So can you talk a little bit about the challenges that we might be experiencing right now?
Sure. Now, again, I have a limited perspective. I know my own experience, and I know I live in Asheville, North Carolina, where there are a lot of conscious people. We're sort of a hub for that. And, you know, I'm part of a group that meets every week to study the law of one, channeled material, and usually 20 people show up. And we always do a sharing on the first round. And everyone seems to go, oh my God, this major thing is happening. And I'm being so challenged in a certain way. And so I'm here with all these people, many of whom are spiritually awake or are well on their way, all getting triggered. And then as I work with my clients, whether it's astrology or shamanic healing or life coaching, and I'm hearing all these stories about all this thing that's up for them. So, you know, I have this perspective of connecting with a lot of people, and there's a lot of challenge up. And it goes way beyond just what's going on in the sky astrologically, you know, because we are in a shifting time where, you know, we're shifting from darkness to light. And the nature of that process is that at the end of an era like we're in, the dark side makes its last stand. Mm. And it comes out with full power, and it shows itself as really big and scary and seemingly insurmountable. And that's exactly the time when it's going to face its final, well, not final, it will give way. An era of light comes forward for, you know, thousands of years, however long. And, you know, it's all cyclical. At some point way in the future, the dark will come back and have its day again. So it's like a whole cyclical phenomenon. So my perception is we are now in that transition period, and certainly there's lots of other folks who feel the same way. And therefore, our job, if we're awakening people, is to understand that that's part of the process. You know, I assume that most of the people who are on this show are here, you know, they identify with the light, they want to serve the light, they want to awaken. Mm-hmm. Well, that path involves the uncovering and clearing of any darkness within you. And this, in my opinion, works in stages. The first stage is you just work on your own stuff.
Yeah.
So you're going to say, okay, I've got my own personal wounds, and I worked that for a while. And that can be years worth of material right there. At some point, if you get clear enough and it's what you're here to do, you can then get assigned to start processing for others. And I know I've talked to so many clients who are empaths, they're highly sensitive people, and they feel other people's stuff, and they feel it processing through their own body. And my perception is those who are sensitive actually came to do that. Because, you know, from the highest perspective, we're all one. There was a great sage named Ramana Maharshi in India. Mm-hmm. And one of his followers apparently asked him, what do we do about other people? And he said, there are no other people. From his perspective, it's just one beautiful being, you know?
I love him. I just absolutely love him.
If you're processing for someone else, you know, that's really you in disguise. That's right. The highest. So some of us are here to help process for those who can't yet process for themselves. Mm. So I know I'm definitely one of those myself. So the key then is to realize I'm kind of like a sponge. So if I'm a dry sponge, then I'm going to soak up whatever's out there, whether it's dirty or clean. But if I'm a saturated sponge, then I'm going to be pretty full, and I'm not going to pick up as much, and I'm going to drip water everywhere. Mm. And the sponge metaphor is a metaphor for awakening. The saturation would be from the divine light. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're really bright and shiny. And then whatever you do pick up, you have so much more light available to transmute and absorb it. And in my own experience, when I'm transmuting for others, it's intense. And it's so intense for me, my body will literally shake, I'll vibrate. And it's pretty intense physically for me, but there's no pain. Intensity doesn't have to equal pain.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little subtler, but you know, I feel it happen. Okay. More of this.
Well, I have to say, you know, when I was, you know, earlier on in my journey, I used to feel a lot of pain, you know, mm-hmm. But for me at that time, it was like proof that I was doing something, right? Mm. So it was proving that I was doing something. So I would feel the pain as proof that something was happening or that I was doing something. And I used to have that program too, where I was working for other people, doing the healing for other people and transmuting for other people. Right. At my expense, you know, and then it's like, okay, that doesn't work for me anymore. So now, even though I do that, it's not painful. You know, it's just a lot of heat, as some of my clients will tell you. I start to sweat a lot. Mm-hmm. but that's, you know, so it can shift, it can change, right?
Absolutely. And that's kind of the what I'm getting toward is the technique of how to do that in a way that doesn't damage you individually. Okay. So if you're an absorber, if you're a transmuter, that's your nature. Mm-hmm. And some people respond to that by, oh, I'm just going to numb out. I'm going to do drugs or alcohol or zone out on TV, food, video games, whatever. I'm going to distract myself. But it doesn't change the fact that you're still absorbing, you're still picking up stuff. You're just ignoring the problem. Mm-hmm. So once you say, okay, I'm done distracting, I want to deal with this, then you say, okay, this is my nature to be really sensitive, to merge with other energies, and some of them will come through me. So I need to set myself up so I can do it properly. So in terms of, I need to become an effective spiritual transmuter, I need to become a shaman, I need to become an agent of spiritual healing, whatever terminology you put, doesn't really matter. It's all the same basic thing.
Yeah.
So to me, the first stage in this, you've got to get a basic spiritual awakening online. You know, you have to have the conscious experience of your higher self merged with you. And you, what I like to say is, this transcends and includes the personality. The personality doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. My experience is not that the ego gets killed. To me, the ego just gets housebroken. Mm-hmm. You know, because
yeah,
you know,
there's still a place for the ego. The ego has a job to do still, you know?
Yeah. I mean, try functioning in 3D without one. You won't have much interaction.
Exactly.
So the ego is a tool.
Yeah.
And if it's a surrendered ego, then the divine can make good use of it. So, you know, I have a very distinctive ego and you know, I try to refine it and hone it and help it serve the best I can. So the idea is you're still, and I should mention, I've tried to give it up. I remember I've done a lot of plant spirit ceremonies, ayahuasca mostly. Mm-hmm. And I remember one ceremony a few years ago where I felt I was totally merged with the divine. I was all in there. And I begged God, I said, please, just take away my free will, make me your servant, take away even the possibility of me wanting my free will back. Just take me, take me, take me. And it's the only time in my life the thunderous voice of God came right back and it said, no, not doing that. So, you know, maybe at some point a full surrender like that can happen, but I have not been able to attain it myself.
Right.
So my own situation is, I still have to keep making that choice. Benjamin still has to keep choosing surrender and compliance. Mm. And Benjamin can choose not to if he chooses at any point. You know, I can't imagine what he wouldn't, but that's the choice.
Yeah.
So free will is the law down here, and most of us are in that paradigm. So I'm running on a few tangents, so I apologize. I'm going to come back to my main point. So here we are, you know, sensitive. We're here to serve in the light, and we have to be a capable instrument. And if you're just an awakened ego, you've got very limited tools. And your egoic tools are not going to work very well with the sorts of energetic phenomena you're hitting because they work from the spirit level. So you have to get up to speed and become conscious as spirit. Now, I'm glad that you mentioned my invocations because I'd like your people on the show to experience this for themselves and maybe mm-hmm. have a little awakening of their own while we're here. By the way, I need a reference. What is the rough duration of the show going to be? How long do we have?
An hour and 15. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That gives me a sense of how to pace. Thank you. But basically, once you have an embodied awakening, what that means is your higher self is merged with your physical body. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it transcends and includes the ego. And the key distinction that happens once this locks in is you don't have mental chatter and you don't have challenging emotions when you're fully in this embodied awakening. And it's effortless. It's not like you have to keep it going. It just stays. Mm-hmm. And you get it by literally asking for it with an invocation and just surrendering and passively letting it come in. And the trickiest part for most people of doing this, and I've led several thousand through it, and for most it works really well, mm-hmm. is you just have to go fully passive once you've asked for it and let it come in. And there's four things that are true when you're in embodied awakening. The first is that there's, in your daily routine experience, there's a lot more harmony, flow, ease, and grace. Everything you're responsible for, you do more responsibly. Instead of having to figure things out mentally all the time, more and more you just know what to do intuitively, and more of what you do is blissful. So those are the qualities that I've been able to verbalize around what is embodied awakening and what does it feel like. You know, technically it's simply the higher self or light body or soul being fully integrated into the physical body. Those two bodies are in perfect alignment. Now, they, once you do it, I mean, it's not, for many, it's not a permanent experience. The, you know, something may happen, like, but it may drift out of sync, and then there's mental chatter and challenging emotion again. But then you just call it back, and it quiets down again. Mm-hmm. So this, if you haven't had the experience, it may sound too good to be true. But once you've had it, you really don't want to settle for less.
And why would you not want it, right? Even you describing it, right today, right now, why would somebody not want it?
Well, I wouldn't speak for anyone else, but for me, I can't imagine why I wouldn't want it. Unless your sole purpose is to go through a lifetime and have no awakening at all, in which case it would be a very bad idea.
And, you know, and that's the thing, is like, because we are going through some challenging times right now, right? So if we can get more ease, use, you know, have more tools that we can use to mm-hmm. manage our way through, you know, why not, right? And so somebody asked, Natalie was asking earlier, she said, why was I resisting having a session with you? Oh, it's no secret. I mean, it's like, I'm a shaman, right? As well, but my shamanism that I do is very silent and it's very different than the way Benjamin does it. And so I resisted because, like, oh, I don't know what it's going to be like because he doesn't do shamanism the way I do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was silly, you know, but we did a little bit of shamanism in the session, but yeah, that was the only resistance. It was my own thing about, well, I do shamanism this way and Benjamin does shamanism another way. And I'm just not sure if I, you know, want to do it that way.
Right.
That's what that was. Because
I'm being called to speak about entities a little bit because yep. This is really central to what's going on. Mm. And so my sense, I like to use an image for the awakening and healing process. And this is only a metaphor. It's not literal reality, but it gets the idea across. So at the core, I believe we're each God. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's nothing but God anywhere. God entertains itself by pretending to be different things in different people. So here we are at the core, pure divinity. And that feels like ecstasy, bliss, and euphoria. It feels like harmony, flow, ease, and grace. That's all we really are at the core. Mm-hmm. And that's good to know. Then as we incarnate and go through incarnations, we have unhealed wounds and traumas. Each one of these puts a little dark layer around that core. And these layers build up to form a sort of onion. The human us is on the outside of the onion looking in toward the middle. We may have some perception of our divinity, but part of it's blocked by those layers of pain. So in a very real sense, the way to the light is through the darkness. It's you doing your shadow work. It's mm-hmm. you when you have a catalyst and a challenging emotion or a physical sensation arises, having a tool that quickly and efficiently clears that once and for all. So my own experience of the awakening path is not just all unicorns and rainbows and fairies. You know, that'd be lovely, but that isn't my experience. But what it is, you know, my daily reality is ecstasy. I literally wake up and I'm already in what most people would consider an altered state, and it never leaves. So I'm in this incredible ecstasy all the time. It used to be a few years ago, I can only get here by like doing a hardcore ayahuasca ceremony and temporarily getting that. Mm-hmm. But one nice thing about the plant spirit work is it introduces you to a new level and then you can stabilize it on your own. You know, the whole idea is, you know, eventually you'll just be able to hold it naturally and you're simply open the door through a means like plant spirit work. And there's other ways to get there too, certainly. So now I'm in this lovely state and yet I'm still having this triggering. I've peeled enough onion layers that light is relatively bright to me compared to when I started. And I'm sure there's much more brightness available I can't even conceive of yet. But, you know, you basically say, okay, I'm willing to do the shadow work. Mm-hmm. And again, some people shy away from that because they may have had really traumatic or difficult experiences, like in a ceremony or something. And I just don't want to do that again. It's too much. And the lovely thing about these invocations we're going to be doing is, someone just wrote, bring it on. That's lovely. The lovely thing about these is they don't give you too much.
Yeah.
The nature of these invocations is they're self-limiting because of the phrasing. For example, when we call for awakening, the shortcut for that is simply maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please. We're calling for healing. It's maximum healing that serves highest good, please. And the highest good is not served by overwhelm.
Right.
And so in the many years and the thousands of people I've led through this, no one has ever reported overwhelm. Not too much bliss, not too much pain. Mm-hmm. So like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, it's just right.
It's very nice. Yes, absolutely. Very, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make that point that this process done solo is self-limiting and it's safe. It's not going to be too much. Your higher self is running the whole show. Your higher self sees everything that's going on. It's only going to give you what you're ready for. And when you do your first stages, you know, it'll just be, you know, just that little bit of healing that you can handle, that little bit of awakening that you can open to a little bit. As you get more conscious, more capable, more skillful, it'll give you stronger hits of awakening. It'll give you stronger healing experiences because you can handle them. Mm-hmm. So like anything with experience, you become more masterful at it. But the whole premise is that I call it an invocation because I, the ego, invoke my higher self to help me, and the higher self does everything. Right. So you know, when I teach this, I'll emphasize that your ego stays wholly passive and the divine does it for you. So I'm wanting to put a bow on the basic discussion we've been having, which is things are intense. We're in a transition from dark to light. When that happens, the dark puts on its last stand. It looks unstoppable. It looks overwhelmed. It tries to scare us into not doing this. Okay. But if we're light workers, we're here to do light. And our prime job is being awakened ourselves.
Yeah.
And even if you are just sitting there alone in a room and you never interact with another human being, your awakened presence is of immeasurable benefit on the planet because your vibration is in the web of reality and it is radiating awakening. And you just sitting there, even on your own awake, is helping other people. That's just the basic level of service. Then once you're awakened, of course, most people get intuitive guidance to go do stuff and start serving. And then you become more actively involved in your spiritual work. So, I don't believe there's any particular mandated path for a person who's really on this self-guided path because each path is unique. There's no human you turn to, what should I do next? Ultimately, just wow, I'm self-guided and I just get my guidance from within and choose to act on that.
So, of course, right now, as soon as you said that, you know, about this being self-guided, people are going to ask, but I'm not hearing the messages. I'm not getting the information. Not getting the guidance.
In that case, you turn to people like Alara or to me who can access your higher self for you because we have that openness. And if we're really doing our work in the highest way, in my opinion, we're not going to hook you into having us be your permanent guide. We're going to say, okay, I'll give you this answer for now, but I want to help you hook into your own guidance.
Yeah.
A real guru, a real teacher of any kind is one who helps the person awaken for themselves so they don't need the teacher anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And even today, what you're going to teach us, we can use that for ourselves afterwards.
Oh, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's a self-help tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I used to believe the technique alone was, you know, fully powerful. What I have learned since is that people do have, typically speaking, a more potent experience when I lead them through it. Because to have, it's you know, I'm not a guru and I don't pretend to be. But I'll call it the guru principle. Why do people go sit in a guru's presence? Mm-hmm. Because the guru is awake and they are radiating awakened energy. And it is simply easier to be in that state when you're in the field of someone who's holding the consciousness you're striving to achieve. It's you know, this harmonic resonance.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, if I'm in embodied awakening and I'm leading someone into that, then I'm sort of helping lift them up just by the energy I'm holding. They're in the field of embodied awakening to a degree already from another person, and it just makes it easier. So that's why having a real life human lead you through it. Now, secondarily, if you're following that person on a video or on a recording, audio recording, their energy essence is still there, mm-hmm. and can lift you up also. So that's the beauty, you know, the ease program I do, for example, every week, you know, we always archive the recordings and, you know, the people report, wow, my energy experience is just as strong in the recording as if I'm live.
Yep.
So you know, the essence of the teacher can be held in a recorded medium because it's all still juicy in the Akashic records where all that is stored.
And that's the thing, you know, sometimes, you know, some of my clients can't join my live group classes because timing, right? And they're like, but I really wanted to be there live. And it's like, but it's on the, you can still, you know, listen to the recording, you can watch the video, it's exactly the same. And they're like, no, but I really wanted to be there live.
So, well, live is good, but you know, it surprised me when I started getting that feedback on my own program, because you know what? Well, they're having as juicy an experience, and these are people who've done it live and they've done the recordings.
Yeah, so, exactly. So it's just as effective, you know, afterwards. Yeah. So basically what Benjamin and I are saying, that even afterwards, if you watch this again, if you're not live and you're watching this, and if you are live and but you want to watch it again, it'll be just as potent then as it is now, or will be now.
And I'm going to add something that I don't hear a lot of other people talk about, which is when you do this on a recording, or yours or mine or anyone's processes, you know, you should really act as if you're right there in the room with the person with the same level of attention and respect. Mm-hmm. Because I actually say this when I lead a process, and I'll just say it here for the rec, so your people will know. I recommend that if you're going to do this process, whether you're live now or on the recording afterward, please give it your full 100% attention. And here's why: you are co-creating it, no matter where you are in time and space. If you're hearing this 5 years from now, you are actually influencing the experience of the people who did it live. You know, in this yeah. level that Raw would call time space, there is no past future. It all happens in real time. So just know that my process, yours, anyone's process, if you're coming to it with full attention, full, you know, participation, that's the only thing you're doing, you will be not only having the best experience yourself, you'll be supporting others forward and backward in time. And likewise, if you come with inattention, you're chatting, you're driving, you're doing other stuff, you're actually degrading the experience of everybody else. Mm. Because your inattentiveness is also going into that field.
Right. So, and yeah, the whole multitasking thing, for sure.
Yeah, it's a co-creation. So when we do our process, I can't enforce it, obviously, but I do request, please just do this while we're doing it.
Yeah.
And you and everyone else will have a better experience.
Awesome. Thank you. So there was a question, I guess it's a question from Natalie, about how to let go of something and an idea or a belief that she's had for so long about wanting mm-hmm. to die. I'm assuming that's the gist of it, right?
Okay.
So
I can read it myself. Let's see.
Thank you.
So should I just read it out loud?
So I've done my shadow work. Go ahead.
Let me just read. It's from Natal, right?
Yeah, Natalie.
She says, I've done my shadow work since 1988, yet a couple of years ago, I became aware of the belief decision, I want to die, that I implanted as a child when it became too painful in my then 6-year-old self to deal with the abuse. When this old belief came to light, it became apparent that it was why I've never really thrived or been passionate. I've tried many different ways to release the belief and have not had success. I'm out of ideas how to let go of it. Okay. All right. Well, I do actually have a suggestion. Okay. The first, if you're familiar with the work of Byron Katie, which is a magnificent process, first the thought comes up, I want to die. So you would first ask yourself, is that true? And if you say it's yes, then you ask the deeper question, can I be absolutely sure that's true? Is there even the smallest part of me that does not want to die? And if that's so, then you say, who would I be without that belief? Can you imagine yourself without the desire to die? Just imagine it for a moment. And if you can, then that alone can create a energetic breakthrough. And there's other processes. I don't want to go into that as the main process, but if you Google the work of Byron Katie, her process is right up there with the four questions and the turnarounds. But that's a start. The core thing I'm getting to is you don't have to believe something just because the belief arises. I mentioned entities early. They offer thoughts. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, a thought. Basically, you are not responsible for the first arising of any thought or emotion in your field. That's beyond your control. So basically, as a light worker, the lighter you get, the more you attract the attention of the darkness, because they want to neutralize you because you're working against their cause. Okay? So just be aware. That's why it's not all fairies and rainbows. The more bright you become, the more you attract the dark side's attention. And that's also how you grow. I just put a post up about this on my website. I just want to reference the title in case people want to go back to it, because it specifically addresses this in more detail than I'm going to give right now. Hang on a sec. The post is called "The Dark Side, Your Adversarial Ally." And the whole point is that's how we grow. And this is covered also, I'm going to tangent slightly here, in the Law of One material I mentioned, which I adore. It's the best explanation of reality and why we're here that I've ever read, all free online at lawofone.info if anyone wants to get into this channel material. Basically, apparently when we were in an earlier version of our universe, we humans came in and it was all service to other people. You know, we have service to other, which is I want to help folks, there's service to self. I just wanted to control and dominate and manipulate. Okay. And for a while they just had service to other people and they stagnated. They were having a great time and there was no reason to grow because it was like paradise. Mm-hmm. And then, but the creator says, oh my God, they're here in third density. There's four more densities to go that are even more wonderful. You're hanging out in third and you're not progressing. What can we do? How can we move these people along? So they discovered by introducing an alternative polarity, service to self, those who were controlling, manipulated, lying, cheating, just wanted to dominate. And, you know, we can probably think of a person like that who's in the news a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, they are the ones who catalyze us. So as we light workers service to other people go along, we will be hit by a service to self counterpart at the appropriate level. The test is never more than you can handle, folks. Don't worry about that. You know, the biggest kahuna is not going to roll out when you're starting out. You're going to be met with a counterpart who is of a comparable level and that you can master. Okay, you're never, that's, the game is rigged very carefully so that you're always given an appropriate test, rigged in a good way, all right? So here you are, you're met with a challenge, and you have to draw on more research. You have to go to the next level of your ability instead of just cruise. And so these dark beings, these service to self adversarial allies, are how we grow. And we're always offered, just like in Star Wars, you know, what was it? Then Darth Vader and the Emperor talking, if he could be turned, he could be a powerful ally, mm-hmm. right? So they'll always try to turn you first. You know, if you've got strong light, then they want you on their team.
Right.
And your job, if you're service to others, is to keep holding to your path of service to others. And anything you got, an old wound, psychological weakness, will get stimulated and turned over to see if you want to, you know, turn or stay on the light path. And I, twice in ceremonies, have been offered the dark side, you know, and the divine didn't care. It needs workers on both sides. And I am for the light this time. I'm not interested in working for the dark side. So I stay here and I'm tangenting all over the place. Let me get back to the question.
Well, I just want to say to Natalie really quickly, you know, what you're sharing, just because you implanted that idea or that belief yourself still does not mean that you have to follow through with it or that you can't change it now, right? Or that you even have to accept it. Okay.
Right.
And then, you know, to be totally vulnerable, you know, this, like I said, I was saying, this year has been really challenging, and in May, I wanted to die, you know, and I told God, I said, I can't do this. I don't want to be here anymore. But then I said, but if, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, so then, you know, things shifted, but you know, it was touch and go, you know, and it's like, what the heck, you know, so, you know, it's been a challenging year. And this is when you use every tool in your toolbox. And trust me, I was using every tool in my toolbox. I called up so many of my spiritual friends and teachers and counselors and had sessions, you know, and, you know, just, you know, to be totally transparent with all of you, I paid for the sessions. I didn't just get them for free just because they're my colleagues. I paid for them, you know? And so, because I wanted a change in my life, you know, something was going on. And like, you know, obviously I didn't really want to die, but that was so strong, right? So, you know, I totally feel for you, Natalie. Honestly, I really, really, I really do. And I'm glad you're reaching out, and please do take a look at the work of Byron Katie. I didn't do that, but that is a wonderful, wonderful resource. Okay. So thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me, I actually had a point I was circling around to, and I'm glad you spoke though, because, you know, I personally have not had the desire to die in this lifetime. So you were much better appropriate to speak to that just now than me. Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
But basically, I'm saying that may not be your thought.
Mm-hmm.
it could be, again, let me explain how thoughts infiltrate into. So as a light worker, we're constantly being given, we'll call them invitations from the dark side, okay? The way they'll do it is they'll first implant a thought. The thought arises, and it's a dark thought. It's a thought that will lead you into negativity or a less than desirable path from the light perspective. And if you're awake enough, you're the witness. Oh, here's this thought, and I can choose, okay, not my flavor of thought, I turn my attention elsewhere. And that thought just falls off and dies. But if you, that's intense, ooh. And you sort of start playing with it and thinking about it, you just open the door to it. Mm-hmm. And then if the thought then starts generating emotions in you, especially challenging emotions, fear, anger, whatever, then, so the first level out beyond spirit is the mental body, okay? So if it caught the mental body access, then it'll go for emotional body access. And then if you start getting emotional about it, now it's in that level. And the next level in is your physical body. So if you get a strong enough emotional response, then it soaks into your body itself. And that's where disease and illness begin to go. So if you don't want to pick up negative thoughts, such as I want to die, et cetera, then you need to be awake enough to be the witness of your own thinking. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that's one of the core benefits of having a basic embodied awakening. Most people, the thought arises, that's my thought. They identify completely with every thought that arises. And they don't realize that these thoughts are being implanted externally and given the opportunity to penetrate if they pay attention to them. But no thought has to come in if you don't give it energy. So just be mindful as that thought arises, I want to die. So here, let me also speak, there's two ways to work with this. One is if you're just in everyday consciousness and you have to keep your attention on something other than your own healing process, then that thought arises, you simply turn your attention back to what you're doing. But when it's healing time, then you give it your full attention. And here is how I would use my own process if I had that thought and wanted to be clear of it. Okay, the thought arises, I want to die, okay? So I would first notice, okay, what am I experiencing in terms of a feeling in my body? What emotion is that bringing up? What is the physical sensation that's arising? And that's how you know where it is in your body. You're going to feel it somewhere in your field. Okay. So, okay, let's say, okay, that's in my belly. I feel it right there in my solar plexus. I want to die right here. Okay. So now you say, okay, now I, the ego, am not capable of healing this myself. I would have done it already. I've been working on it my whole life. I haven't done it yet. So I need a more powerful healing system, so I'm going to have my higher self do it for me. So I've identified where it is in my body, and I say to the higher self, maximum healing that serves highest good, please. And I relax into either passive breathing, which creates a broad spectrum healing on many levels and dimensions, or if I've got that one thing up that's dominating my attention and demanding attention, then let's say it's right there in my solar, and that feeling wanted to die is right there. Then I will just place my attention exactly in the center of that and feel it completely with no filter. Now this, when you first do it, seems scary because there's this, oh my God, if I put my attention there, it's gonna overwhelm me and take me over, okay? Well, I got news for you guys. It's as present as it's gonna be. It's already there, it's already in you, and nothing's gonna happen that isn't already there. Mm-hmm. So it's as bad as it's gonna be already. So you may as well go and take care of it. The amazing thing is when you place your attention exactly in the center of the challenging phenomenon with no filter and 100% attention, it actually does not overwhelm you. It's because the part of you witnessing is actually your higher self, just to give you a spoiler there. So you're fully attentive. I'm fully right here with the pain or the discomfort, whether it's physical or emotional. And your job is just to be there with it. You are its witness. What's really critical here is you're not trying to fix it from your ego. Mm-hmm. This is super critical because you've said maximum healing that serves highest good, please. You've requested your higher self and whatever spiritual allies it brings in to do this for you. Okay. Then if you're doing the simple focus tool of just simple attention, you are pointing the divine exactly where you want them. Energy follows attention. When my attention is fully on that uncomfortable area, then that's like shining a light right there. Come here, guys. This is where I need you. And then what happens the vast majority of the time with the people I work with is within a minute or two, sometimes even faster, they start to feel an energetic change. It may start feeling really dense and clotted and thick and whatever, but it starts to soften, and sometimes energy starts radiating out into space, or energy starts flushing out the hands or the feet. It starts to clear layer by layer. It starts flushing out, or sometimes it goes entirely. So it's a very simple tool. And so basically in your case, if you say, wow, I have this feeling of wanting to die, again, go to where in my body do I feel that? Where is the discomfort in the body as a result of that thought? And then you do healing. You, in this case, would probably want to put your attention in that area of the body because it's going to be so intense, and just witness. And that will bring the divine, and layer by layer, it'll start flushing off. One addendum I want to put on here is there's no mental component. This is a transmental healing. So one of the things you do is you just give your complete attention to the feeling, or if you're doing breath, you do just the breath, and you ignore all thoughts. You don't repress them. In my system, distractions will come, and you don't repress them. You simply allow them, and you just let them be in the background. A thought in this context is an uninvited guest, and we are not required to pay attention to uninvited guests. We then return our attention back to our focus as soon as we realize we're distracted. You just keep coming back. You do the best you can. And the more you hold attention in the breath or in that focus area, the divine comes in and peels it out. And you don't have to know what it is. You don't have to know what got there. You don't have to know what was the exact wound or catalyst that caused me to want to die. And when things flush, one of two things will happen. Sometimes it's an anonymous flush. Like last night, I did some intense healing work, and for about 3 hours, I was shaking and vibrating and flushing all kinds of stuff out of me. And I never got an image, never got a thought. It was just stuff leaving. Mm. I didn't need to know, so I was not advised. Other times, I've had healings, and a thought or image pops in, this is what this is about, and it left, and then I was able to consciously clear it. And I have no preference. You know, my mind doesn't need to know. I'm just happy to have that bad energy gone. So that's a tool that you might try, Natalie, if you haven't already. And if that's helpful, then, and that general principle works for any disharmony, no matter what the context. Mm-hmm. If there's a challenging emotion or a challenging sensation in the body, that tool is helpful for a lot of people.
So even the failure to thrive, you know, so but when you think about the failure to thrive, that it's an energy, right? So where is that in your body, right? And you still, and you can do the same process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything that's negative, again, there's the awareness of the challenge, and again, even if you don't have a sense of where in the body it is, you can still do the healing invocation because your higher self knows exactly where that thing's. It's somewhere in your field.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even if you can't identify it, then you just relax and call it in and rest in passive breath awareness, and the divine, which does know all this, will go to the areas it is and start taking out layer by layer. Just as rapidly as you can without getting overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I'll mention one thing too. You can do this healing invocation even if you're feeling fine. You can. I feel 100% great. And you sit down and you do the healing invocation, and that next layer is already queued up, and the divine will come in and flush it up and stir it out. You can do them all day if you want.
So this might be kind of like a preventative kind of thing every day, a daily preventative kind of ritual.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good, you know, it's just like, it's like if you drive every day on a dusty road and your windshield gets dusty. Every day you want to wipe the windshield and clean it off. It's the same kind of, you know, we live, especially these days, in a very polluted energetic environment. There's a lot of really nasty energy out in the air. It's, you know, here in the U.S., for example, it's the most toxic political atmosphere we've had in my lifetime. Okay. There's a lot of service to self out there stirring up a lot of anger and hatred and negativity. And let me, can I speak briefly to that before we go into our process?
Sure. Okay.
Understand, folks, that if you, in response to a service to self action, have the response of anger or hatred or fear, then you are feeding energy to the dark side. Okay. So in other words, like if someone, a politician who's a nasty person, does something that outrages you, your anger energy in the invisible world is feeding that person energy, and you're making them more powerful. And this also involves in a person causes you to become angry. Guess what? their dark entities are having a smorgasbord off your anger. They're getting fed and getting stronger. Metaphorically, it's like if it's a Godzilla movie, he's rampaging through Tokyo and they're firing laser beams at him. Every laser beam makes him bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. Okay, so please understand, if you're getting angry or negative emotions are arising and you're doing the best you can, that's okay, all right? But when you become conscious of how the whole thing works, you can make a different choice. But again, it's much easier to make that choice not to go into negative emotions if you're at a basic awakening level. If you're not there, then the emotions kind of run the show and you're not really controlling the thoughts and you're more reactive. Once you're awake, you become more of a master of the situation and you have the big picture. And it's much easier to make a conscious reaction instead of just having a gut level response or vice versa. You get the idea. You mm-hmm. have a choice over your energetic response to something instead of it just happening on autopilot.
Right. Okay. Unfortunately for most people, we're just automatically reacting. We're not really even conscious of what we are broadcasting out, right? What we're mm-hmm. thinking, what we're feeling.
That's true of most people.
Yeah. Sadly. Yeah.
So if you're in that cycle, then you're suffering. It's almost the definition of it. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to suffer anymore, you have to become conscious. You have to have at least a base level awakening so that you can start making conscious choices, see those old patterns operating, and begin to shift them through conscious,
Yeah, it's about being aware, right? Being aware of your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions as they're coming up, and then choosing what to do with them, right?
Right. And, I'm giving tools today, and we'll do a process here in a moment, but any tool that works is a good tool, folks. If mm-hmm. I offer my stuff here and you already have or later find a tool that works better for you, drop mine like a hot potato. Use the one that works best. Because we're all different and we all respond to different stuff. That's why there's so many great tools out there, because there's something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are ready to
do what I'm doing, great, and use it unless you find something better.
Yeah, I always say, if what I'm saying or what I'm sharing resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, leave it, mm-hmm. it's fine, right? And, sometimes stuff works for you and other times it doesn't. So choose what does and then come back to it later on and see if it still resonates or not,
Yeah. So. And remember, different tools for different levels. A tool that worked well for you at one phase, you may outgrow that tool and get a more diverse or subtle tool.
Right.
So that's why I don't make definitive commitments to any one path or tool forever. I say, okay, I'll use this as long as it's the best tool I got or the best path I have, but I'll drop it the moment it becomes clear that there's a different path or a better tool for me.
Yeah. Or if it's not working for you anymore, then it's time to change and look for right. something else. So yeah. Awesome. So do you want to do the process now first?
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, and let me just make a note here. Whether you're live or on the recording, the amount of time this takes is largely up to you guys. I can do this stuff really fast, but I'm going to be, believe it or not, I'm going to be tuning in not only to the folks on the live call, but everyone who's doing it later on the recording. So I was just going to say,
if you're driving, at all or operating machinery of some sort, please take a pause, or do this later.
Yeah. Yeah, come back. If you can't give it your full attention now, we actually do request, either get off or pause and come back to the recording later when you can give it your full attention. It'll be a blessing for both you and everyone else.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. So what we're about to do is an invocation cycle that for many people takes them into that state of embodied awakening. If you already have embodied awakening, it can take you deeper. So I invite you now to close your eyes. And again, the more everyone listening to me at this time, whether you're live or on the recording, will get through this faster if you give it your full attention. So please close your eyes and become aware of your whole body at once. Just feel the whole thing. And notice how much do you feel like a being of physical form and how much are you aware of that part of you that's energy, prana, chi, current, heat, tingling, etc. Just feel what's going on. And don't try to change it. This is your baseline. This is your starting point. Just notice this is where I'm starting. Later, we'll check back to this to compare. And now we're going to do the first invocation, which is for maximum light and divine consciousness that serves highest good. You're going to be speaking directly to your higher self and passively receiving what it does for you. So Repeat after me now, out loud if you can, and silently if you must. Spirit that I am, please saturate me with the maximum light and divine consciousness that serves highest good. Starting now, thank you. This or something better. Now release the words and become aware of your breathing. Your attention now is strictly on passive breath awareness. So don't control the breath, just let it come and go and notice where in your body do you feel it most easily. Is it your nose, your head, your throat, your chest, your belly? Just notice where do I feel breath easiest and rest your attention gently there. That's going to be your focus, and that's going to let your divine do these things for you most efficiently. A few pointers. As you do this, please do not use any effort or willpower to try to make anything happen or stop anything from happening. Please do not deliberately visualize or imagine anything. Just feel your breath passively. When you become distracted, that's okay. Do not fight the distractions or try to change them. Let them be exactly as they are. But they are uninvited guests, and you are not required to pay attention to them. Therefore, as soon as you become conscious that you're distracted, which simply means my attention is no longer on my breath, then you gently come back to your breath, very persistently, very gently. If the distraction remains in the background, that's okay. There's room for both of you. You don't fight them, you just keep choosing breath, gently, persistently. So do that now, feel the breath. And what I, in guiding you guys, I am feeling in my body the general energy of what's happened to everyone. It's getting really bright. So Alara, you've got a very conscious crew here. Congratulations on your wonderful listenership, viewership. And wow, my aura is getting really big, really fast. So it lets me know people are really getting this very quickly. Now, it could be, as we go through this, you're going to have a different experience than the one I'm describing, which is perfectly fine. So if you're getting a different experience, your divine is giving you a customized experience that will serve you even better. So just keep resting, but if a different experience arises, then don't fight that. Just keep coming back to breath and let the experience be what it is. You may get a customized experience. It happens sometimes. Most of us, however, will go on this track. So just notice your, we call for maximum light and divine consciousness. Based on what I'm feeling, most of us at least are feeling very radiant and very bright, which means we're ready for second invocation. This is to be one with the absolute peacefulness that you are. So I invite you now to this invocation. So please repeat after me if you wish. Spirit that I am, please make me one with the absolute peace that I am. To the greatest extent that serves highest good. Starting now, thank you. This or something better. Ooh, that's feeling good. Okay, on this invocation, we choose a different focus. We let the breath go, and we focus on the feeling of peacefulness itself. So please just notice whatever peacefulness you're feeling, however minimal or strong it is, just notice whatever peacefulness you're feeling, and give that your full attention. Again, no breath awareness here. We're just focusing on the feeling of peacefulness. This peacefulness is intelligent divine energy. It knows you're paying attention to it, and it's very grateful for that. It's rewarding you actually by making the peacefulness stronger. So to be clear, you are simply passively feeling whatever peacefulness there is, but because the divine is acting, that peacefulness is getting stronger. So just rest in that awareness of increasing peacefulness. Completely passive, again, doing nothing on your own to try to make it any stronger. Just being with whatever it's doing on its own. Just just feeling that peacefulness. Oh, nice. Okay, so based on what I'm experiencing, most of us are now feeling very light and floaty. You're feeling like a being of energy. So please notice right now, are you experiencing any mental chatter or challenging emotion? Or is it just peaceful? If there's no mental chatter or challenging emotion, then congratulations, you have merged with your higher self. And not everyone experiences this exactly the same way, but the basic parameters are definitely, if you're fully there, there is not mental chatter, there's not challenging emotion, it is peaceful. And for some people, that's all they experience. Others have a more definitive and vivid experience of being the being of light, of being the higher self or the soul with details filled in. But whatever your level of experience is, just if you got the basics, no mental chatter, no challenging emotion, peaceful, and effortless. In fact, let's test that now just by dropping all effort. Just be for just a moment. Again, based on what I'm feeling, most of us are quite stable in the field. We are awake as the higher self, at least at a basic level. So take one last moment to feel this part of you. My understanding, this is the part that created your human self. Somewhere down the road, your human self will die, and you'll be this fully again. This will then go on, have its past life review, and go on to whatever's next. So, no, this is the real you that goes on and on and on and on. For all practical purposes, it's immortal. So knowing yourself as this being is tremendously helpful in living a more wonderful human life. In fact, next we're going to invite it to join us in the body, which is even more wonderful than floating in it out of body. So before we do this, I have to give you the standard information, which is you, the ego. The best way to describe this is a metaphor of driving a car. So instead of you, the ego, driving the car, you're going to slide to the passenger seat and the divine's going to drive. If at any point you don't like the way your divine is driving, you can scoot back over, take the wheel, the divine will step out immediately with no fuss, and you will be driving the car again. And actually, it happens instantly. The moment your ego wants control back, it's done. The divine's out, you're in. So I want you, the ego, to know that you're safe. For some people, this is a little bit scary the first time. So know that if you don't like the result of what you do, you've got your old status quo back immediately. So there's no risk, it's just an experiment. I've already verbalized earlier in this call the benefits of doing this. I'll recap them just super brief. More harmony, flow, ease, and grace. Everything you're responsible for, you do more responsibly and joyfully. Instead of having to figure things out so much, you just know what to do, and more bliss overall. So if you would like to have that experience, just try it on for size, see if you like it or not. Then we're going to do the third invocation to bring the light body into the physical form. So if you'd like to do this, then repeat after me now. Spirit that I am, please integrate my peaceful light body and my physical body to the greatest extent that serves highest good. Starting now, thank you. This or something better. Let the words go. And now we're back in the body, so it's back to breath awareness. So I invite you to return your attention to feeling the breath wherever in your body you feel it most easily. And no breath control, no trying to make anything happen. Just feel breath passively. When you notice distraction, just return to breath very gently, no resisting anything, just back to breath, back to breath. And the more passive you stay, the easier you make it for your higher self to do this for you. I make such a big deal out of the passivity because if you start trying to help in any way to make this happen, you've invoked free will. Your higher self will be required by divine law to stop what it's doing and step back and let you try to do it on your own. However, There is no ego on the planet that can do this for itself. Only the higher self can do it for the ego. So if you want this, just acknowledge, hey, my ego, it's above my pay grade. I can't do this from my own human part. The divine has to do it for me. I can request it. And then the more passive I stay, the easier it's going to be for the divine to give that to me as a gift. And it's so happy to do this every time you ask. There's nothing it would rather do. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you are feeling a little bit of challenge. Sometimes when the light body comes in, it hits a block area where there's some like old emotional pain or something. And so some of you are having a little bit of challenging emotion come up, and you may also be noticing it's flushing out like your hands or your feet. So allow that, please, if it's happening. That is for you a prerequisite for the light body to come fully in. Not everyone has that happen, but some are having it right now. So just allow that, stay in the breath passively no matter what's happening. And some of you are already there, some of you are in your embodied awakening. Your job, folks, is to hold space for the rest. So I'm holding the space, you're holding the space. The more of us who hold this embodied awakening right now, the easier it's going to be for everyone else to catch up and join us in this beautiful space. So everyone who's there, you're now part of the facilitation team. So just hold the awakening, just relax into that. And the more of us who do it, the quicker everyone else will pop in. Yeah, it's cascading really nicely. Most people are there. Let's give it just a moment longer. Again, all you do to get here is you be completely passive. Feel breath come and go. That is all. The divine will take care of everything else while you do that. Okay, enough of us are here that we can move forward. Some will be playing catch up in the next minute or two. So let's check our embodied awakening. I'm going to run the checklist. So just note yes or no to yourself on each question. Do you have full awareness of your physical body? Do you feel that peaceful light body? Can you feel both bodies at the same time? Are the light body and the physical body so integrated that it's hard to tell them apart? At this moment, is there any mental chatter or challenging emotion? Are you peaceful? And the last parameter is it's happening with no effort. So let's all drop zero effort. Don't even try to hold breath. Just be for a moment. Totally passive, not trying to do anything at all. And in that completely passive state, is it true that there's no mental chatter, no challenging emotion, and that it's peaceful? If that is true with zero effort, then you have achieved embodied awakening. Great job. If not, then you may catch up in the next minute or two, or you can try this again later. Because sometimes, for some folks, it takes a time or two to get it. But many people get it the first time. So just relax into this for a moment. And if this is your first time here, it is extraordinary to be sitting there fully conscious and that chatter and challenging emotion you've had your whole life, it feels weird to have them gone. It's like, whoa, so empty here. And yet you'll notice if you actually just relax into it, the emptiness feels really good. It's so peaceful and there's some bliss in there. So just relax. So what's happening here is the consciousness of the higher self in embodied awakening is the operating system of the body. It is the driver. So when the higher self merges, then it's the consciousness driving the body. Now, you still have access to all the body stuff. You can still think, you can still emote, you still have all your memories. It's all still there. But what's missing is the static. The distracting, pointless, unnecessary thoughts and emotions are not there anymore. But again, all the capacities you need are still present. Nothing is lost that you need. So just feel that for a moment. And the next stage, we're still in process, is open your eyes and look around and engage visually with the space around you. And as you do this, just notice, am I still in embodied awakening? The answer to that question involves the four things being simultaneously true. No mental chatter, no challenging emotion, peaceful, effortless, and judging By the way, Alara's eyes look, you are totally there, aren't you? You can always tell by looking. How do you feel?
Wow. Well, that was awesome.
Cool. All right. So now I'm still in process. I just wanted to check in with you. What I'd like to do briefly is give the follow-up instructions. And let me first note that all these are in writing on my website, astroshaman.com. Right now, the current version of the website, you would go on the menu bar to resources, the last word up there, and the first pull down is invocations for our Heal and Awaken invocations. Now, I'll have a new site up in a few weeks where invocations will actually be right there on the menu bar. It'll be even easier to get to, but one way or the other, you'll be able to find that. So there, in far greater detail than I'll give now, is full detail on how to do this. It'll have the healing invocation too, which we're not going to go through today, but I've described well enough that you have a sense of what it is. But here's the simplest way, the fewest words possible, to tell you how to do this every day. Again, more detail on the website if you want to go look there. And all that stuff is free up there too. So first thing each morning, do not the cycle we just did, but do an 8-word shortcut. It's called the Embodied Awakening Refresher, year. The words are maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please. Just as soon as possible each morning, the moment you think about them, I don't care if you're laying in bed, sitting on the toilet, whatever, just say maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please. Rest in passive breath awareness and the embodied awakening will return. I've had many people give me feedback that say it takes about 5 or 10 seconds. It can be very, very quick. Basically, once you get fully relaxed into passive breath awareness, it's there. So the way you know there, again, 4 parameters, no mental chatter, no challenging emotion, peaceful, effortless. You're there, good, go about your business. Now it may last all day or it may not. If it slips during the day and the mental chatter and challenging emotion come back, just do it again. Repeat as needed. If you can't do it out loud because there's people around, do it mentally. Thinking it will do it just as well. And the thinking, the words, and the resting and passive breath awareness can be done very subtly. People can be looking right at you and never even know you're doing anything. You can do a stealth invocation, all right? But my advice is do it the moment you realize it's gone. Do not wait. Your higher self will make sure you're safe, and I would just call it back on the spot. You don't want to leave this state for any length of time, because if you let it go without it too long, you might slip back into amnesia and even forget you can do this, okay? This is designed to get you out of the amnesia of humanity and be an awakened being. So first thing in the morning, repeat as needed, do it again when you go to bed. That's how to maintain the awakening. Now, as I said earlier in our discussion that the layers of the onion will come up to be peeled. You're going to get triggered. Something's going to happen with a challenging emotion or a challenging sensation. When that happens, you pull out the other invocation, the healing invocation. You say, okay, I've got a challenge somewhere. I say the words maximum healing that serves highest good, please. I rest in passive breath, and the divine comes in, stirs it up, and flushes it out. As we said earlier, there is a refinement. If it's super intense in one area, then you just put your attention there and hold witness to it. Feel it fully. So again, that's a little more technical than I want to get into here, but it's on the website. When you click that place on my menu bar, then you get 2 posts. The first right now has a blue angel, and it's mainly about the awakening. The second post has a screaming man. It says, your negative reactions, golden opportunities for clearing and awakening. It describes the healing process in detail. So those 2 tools, again, I've been giving these tools out for over 7 years. Literally thousands of people have done them. I've received hundreds of emails testifying to their effectiveness. So it's a field-tested system, not just someone's theory. So, you know, chances are it'll work for you. If not, then go find something that works better. But if you're called to it, try it out, test it for yourself. If it works, keep using it, and keep using it is my recommendation, unless you already have something better or something better comes along later. And that's the most concise I can give the instructions.
Thank you so much. I'm still in it, you know, and it's like, I would just like to stay in it, you know. Just absolutely beautiful. Wow. So I... Yeah, it was, that's so cool. Caroline says, I had brown eyes, now I have greenish eyes.
In fact, if you all who felt the change, if you look at yourself in your monitor or your mirror, you don't look the same. You actually, you look younger. It literally takes wrinkles off your face. It puts new light in the eyes. This, you ladies, this is the best beauty treatment I know. You get awakening and you look so much younger. The most radical shift I saw was a 70-year-old woman who went to India and woke up, came back. She looked 70 when she left. She came back. She looked like she was maybe 45. I couldn't believe the youth effect of her awakening. It was amazing. So there's a little additional motivation for you guys.
No, thank you. This was really so nice, you know, and it's so easy to do, you know, and that's the thing that I, you know, like it was maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I have no idea. I lost track of time, but it's very easy for anybody to do. So that's what I love that, you know, and so try it out, right? All of you, you know, who are watching now or watching later, try it out on your own or go back and watch this person again, and do it for a couple of days and just see how you feel. Okay.
Yeah. And again, I want to emphasize again, you know, what I just did was just to get it rolling. But when you actually do it on your own, all you need is the 8-word refresher. You do not have to do the cycle.
Right. Yeah.
And on my EASE program that I mentioned, we do a process like this every month. We have weekly calls, and once a month we do this juiced up with shamanic awakening stuff. So awesome. It's up there available too.
Awesome. Thank you. So Benjamin does have an offer that he'd like to share with you. So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. And those of you who are not on the live page and you're watching on somewhere, there's a link. Just click on the link. So because it's long to talk about, but it's lara.at/show/Benjamin. So Benjamin, I'm going to ask you to talk about it and I will screen share some of it so that people can see it as well.
Okay, good. So I'll be very brief in describing this. The first package contains 6 MP3s from my weekly program. And this is, I've picked kind of a best of selection of the most recent work. So it's about 10 hours of audio. And the whole package is $97. And I'm trying to, for some reason, my scroll down isn't working. There we go. I just bear with me. I need to be able there. I'm good now. I can scroll my own screen now. Okay.
Yeah. I just have to, like, it never works properly when I try and screen share, because when you're talking, it doesn't show it. So it's like, what?
Okay. So I'm now just on my own webpage directly looking at it. So hopefully what I'm doing is not interfering with you.
No. So, but I'm going to share it now. So.
Right, okay. Yeah. All right. So package B has double 12 MP3s, twice as many, and it's 147. And so basically, just to briefly cover the content, the package A first starts with a shamanic awakening ceremony over 2 hours long, where we're going to do the awakening. We're going to shake out the stuff you need to clear. There's an all-in-one process, about an hour and a half. I don't know how to describe it. I was one with everything, and many of the callers felt the same thing. So it's a new level of unity experience beyond what you may have experienced before. The third one is called Short and Sweet. It's only an hour long, but it has a little Q&A. And we have a spontaneous guided meditation, including embodied awakening, personal healing, merged awareness in the inner worlds. It's a really sweet, and what's nice is most of the recordings are longer than this, so this is one you can do in a relatively brief time. Then there's one called Blissages, which combines the word bliss and messages. So there is some channeling here, and then a lovely guided meditation as well that has awakening, healing, inner world blending, divine ecstasy. The reason that my descriptions tend to be similar on the inner processes is we're not doing a lower world experience where it's like shamanic animals and a lot of, you know, scenery. We're in the upper world where it's more abstract, but really ecstatic. So that's why, you know, I may be more broadly generalizing. Plus the fact that a lot of people have unique experiences and they're experiencing something other than what I'm describing. And their experience for them is even more wonderful than what I'm describing. So the calls are amazing because you can do the same MP3 over and over again and have a different experience each time. So it really, you know, however many you purchase, 6 or 12, it actually opens you to an infinite variety of experience because you literally will have a different experience every time you listen. There's one called Brain Gain, where we get some major brain upgrades. I'm just really highlighting very quickly. The sixth in the package is called Collective Karma Cleanup. Amma the Hugging Saint comes in to support us, and we clean up not only some of our own stuff, but we work to clear some of the collective karma. So if you're wanting to be of global service, that's a sweet package. So again, those six, about 10 hours of audio just for $97. Then the second package, I'm not going to go blow by blow here, but the content of the second group includes how to reclaim soul fragments, how to deal with psychic attacks, lots of ecstatic inner states, how to work with energetic sensitivity, ideas about the new golden age. Amma the Hugging Saint is a pretty prominent presence in some of these recordings. So if you're aware of her, her presence is quite vivid on the calls. Ascended ayahuasca is energized there. And if you don't know what ayahuasca is, it's a powerful plant spirit medicine. It is psychotropic. You do move into altered states. What we work with is not the ayahuasca energy on this planet, much of which has dark stuff mixed in. We work actually with ascended ayahuasca from the ascended earth that's already there. So it's a kind of a more pure, clean version of ayahuasca energy. Again, you're not going to be taking anything, but you're going to be energetically receiving some of this essence. There will be experiences of multi-point awareness. At one point on one of these calls, I was literally in five places at once. And again, if I'm holding a consciousness, then it's available to everyone else who is, you know, ready to receive that. Optimal use of the invocations we've been describing, some stuff on law of attraction. So a lot of really juicy material is on these recordings. And again, I tried to price them very reasonably, just $97 for the six CD package or the six MP3 package, and just $147 for the one that has a dozen recordings. So that's the nutshell on what that's all about.
Awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're back. All right, cool. So yeah, those two packages are available, package A or package B. Take a look at them, see which one resonates with you. And I'm just going to see what, thank you so much. The website. So the website, let me just type in the chat here. So I think it's astroshaman.com.
That is my site. If you like, I can type it.
I got it. Yep, okay.
You got it right. Yeah, so that's where they can go to learn more about my services. That's where they can get the invocations for healing and awakening. That's where the EASE program is, and all that's available there.
Mm-hmm. Good. So there's just a message from Dolores. She says, thank you, Benjamin and Laura. That process was a wonderful acknowledgement of what being in touch with my calm and enlightened self. I'm so grateful to have such a wonderful acknowledgement of the experience of peace. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh. Cool. Yeah, it was so peaceful. And you can continue, you know, to experience that more and more for yourself by tapping into that experience again, by using the short version of the process, the eight words, mm-hmm. As well. So, yeah, really nice. Thank you. I loved it.
Let me, there's one thing I just want to say here at the end here, which is I'm 58 years old. And I don't look that old for a reason, you know. Since I, in the recent years, have been working so powerfully with these divine energies and waking up more and more, I can literally say that every year I get to the end of the year, I say, wow, the year I just had was the best year of my life so far. Mm-hmm. As long as you're growing in consciousness, that can always be true. Right. So I'm here to tell you what I want is for y'all to, whether you use my tools or anyone else, I don't care, but do something to keep waking up more deeply. And then your motto, like mine, will become, it always gets better than this.
Hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And yeah. Thank you, everyone, too, for being here live on the call, or even if you're watching later on, but being fully present. Thank you for co-creating this space. Thank you for co-creating that powerful session that we did. It was, it was so, so nice. And Vanessa is saying, it was amazing how I perceived the energy and the body together. Nice.
Good. Yeah.
This works
for most people most of the time. So I'm really glad it was helpful for these folks.
You know, and even for myself, I'm trying to compare because we've done it before, but mm-hmm. I can't compare. I mean, all I know is right now how it felt, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think it was. This is not even necessary, really.
No, but it was amazing. It's still amazing. Right, because you can still tap into it even now. You know, it doesn't mean just because we stop doing it does not mean it's done, right?
Well, no, I mean, most of us, I think, are still there. We're still, if we notice, wow, there's no mental chatter, no challenging emotion.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That was beautiful. Thank you. And so, yeah, exactly. No need to compare. So I do encourage you all to go take a look at Benjamin's website, astroshaman.com. Take a look at some of his services, take a look at his blogs and articles and all the stuff on the embodied awakening and the ease processes and so on. Take a look at those, lots of information. And if you would like to get the packages from Benjamin, you can. That's available at alara.at/show/Benjamin. There's two packages there. And the link to the packages will be, they are in my email already, but they'll be in the replay email as well, for sure. And they'll be on YouTube and on the podcast as well. So take a look at them. You know, watch this again or listen to this again and do this process again, because it was just absolutely beautiful. And if you do have comments or feedback that you'd like to share about the process for Benjamin, you can send them to me or you can send them to Benjamin. I'm sure he would love to, you know, he would appreciate getting those too, right?
Yeah, I would love feedback. Yeah, there's a contact page on astroshaman.com where you can email me directly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So thank you again so much, Benjamin. I'm so glad we did this. It was long overdue. So thank you.
And, my pleasure, always.
Yeah, so lovely. And please, like, you know, there were some, you know, some moments, you know, for myself during this call that were a bit, you know, personal, right? But it was something that it wanted to be said. So I'm hoping that that will be of service to some of you. So thank you for allowing me to share and be transparent as well with my journey. It has been a challenge this year, but I don't foresee it continuing to be a challenge, right, Benjamin? It can only get better.
Well, I would not go so far as to say there won't be further challenge.
I know for myself, I don't think it'll be as challenging, you know.
Well, I sincerely hope that's true for you.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be as challenging.
What I know is if you get these tools, especially the healing tool in your toolkit and you learn to do it, then you'll know, I don't care what challenge comes up. I can work with it because my divine can handle anything.
Hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
The game is situated. The human experience is set up, in my experience and my understanding, that you do not get more than you can handle. And maybe handling it means that you realize it's not up to your ego and it's up to your divine allies. You got to call in a higher power to do it.
Yes.
And that's part learning about the higher power and what it can do for you.
That's exactly what I did. It's like, I can't do it, so I'm going to call in the big guns, you know, and say, and reach out for support. You know, like if you still require more support, you know, apart from the tools that you received today from Benjamin, reach out, you know, reach out to Benjamin, reach out to myself, reach out to other healers and facilitators, you know, and see what happens. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. I'm still in bliss, you know, and I plan to stay this way for a while. So thank you. I'm so grateful. And so until next time, everyone, continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Bye for now.